Now there are two practical things I want to say also in conclusion. Two of the biggest problems in married life come through relatives and money. There are many other areas also, but relatives and money are a big problem. Now, the first commandment in the Bible, do you know what it is? The very first commandment in the whole Bible. For man, not for Adam, for us. Genesis 2:24. Before sin came into the world. The only commandment given in the Bible before sin came into the world. Genesis 2:24. A man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one. God's desire is that husband and wife should be one. And if that is to happen, he must emotionally leave his father and mother. That means not let them control his life anymore. He doesn't mean he doesn't care for them, but now his decisions must be taken, not consulting daddy and mommy, but consulting his wife. Now that's another thing which most people in India never practice, and that non-Christian practice has come into Christians. Where a man, even after he gets married, is more attached to his parents than to his wife, he cannot have a Christian home because you have disobeyed the first commandment in the Bible. You can't do it. You have to, I don't mean that you don't care for them. The example is Jesus. He was subject to Joseph and Mary for 30 years, but when he moved out after his baptism, the very next thing you read in John chapter 2 is his telling his mother Mary at the marriage at Cana, "Woman, what have I got to do with you?" What a word. She got the shock of her life in John chapter 2 when he said that. "Hey, is this my boy who's obeyed me for 30 years? Yes, because he's moved out of the home. It was difficult for him to say that to a mother who suffered so much for him. And it's difficult for you, brother, to say that to your parents, that now my wife comes first. But Jesus said it. He's your example. If you want to follow Jesus and if you want to build a godly home. And also for the woman in Psalm 45. What is the woman supposed to do? Psalm 45 is the bridal psalm. A psalm of the bride and bridegroom, Jesus Christ and his bride. And again the example of Christ in the church. He's talking about the bride and the bridegroom. And there it says, "Listen, O daughter," speaking to the wife in verse 10, Psalm 45:10. "Listen, daughter, you're getting married now. Give attention. Forget your people and your father's house. Now this is your new house. That's why you change your name. Your last name is changed now to your husband's name. And that's the one you're going to, that's your house now. Forget that." It doesn't mean you don't care for them. And that also Jesus has proved, that even when he was hanging on the cross, he cared for his poor mother. So in the midst of all that suffering, he said, "I've got to provide a home for my mother." That is a good example. You don't let your parents interfere in your life. You don't let them emotionally control you with their tears or whatever it is. When you take decisions, it is you and your partner. But if your parents are in need, you care for them. Provide for them. I remember a husband once asking me, "Brother, my parents are in need. And from my earnings, I want to send them my money. But my wife doesn't allow me to do it. What should I do?" I said, "Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing." It's very simple. Your wife is your left hand. Don't let her know what the right hand has done, that you supported your parents. Obey scripture. There's an answer in scripture for everything. You have to help your parents when they are in need. Definitely care for them. They need to be cared physically. Maybe you need to bring them home in your home and look after them. Do that. But make sure it is not their home, but your home. There's a lot of difference between you living in your parents' home and your parents living in your home. Even though physically it looks the same, it's not the same. The other area is money. The most important thing I would say to all married couples in relation to money is live within your means. Stay in the circle of finances God has drawn around you. If you go outside that, and that is by borrowing, Borrowing is because I don't want to stay within the circle God has drawn around me economically. I look at that fellow, he's got a bigger circle. I want to buy what he has. I want to get everything which makes my life more comfortable. But if God has not given you that much money, don't borrow. Don't use a credit card to buy things which you cannot afford. That's why I've never had a credit card in my life. I've never been in debt in 71 years. Not a single day. It's not that we've not been poor. If you knew how much my wife and I earned when we got married, I can say honestly, we earned much less than any of you sitting here when you were married. Much, much less. Even allowing for inflation. What did we do? We never bought new clothes. We never bought anything we couldn't afford. We never went on holidays. We never spent on anything because there are lots of things we couldn't buy. We had a little baby. We could only buy things. My wife would stitch the clothes for the child. We couldn't afford to go to shops and buy because one reason, we feared God who said, owe no man anything. Our circle was small. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 8, the middle of that verse. If you break through that boundary wall, a serpent will bite you. God has drawn a boundary of finances around you. You break through it, a serpent bites you. And let me tell you something. In the Hebrew language in which that is written, the word for debt, D-E-B-T, is the same or very similar to serpent's bite. Same word here. The serpent's bite is a debt. Do you want it? Do you know the number of people who are in debt? Every church I go to, I say, are you in debt? We got to clear it as soon as possible. I've removed elders from being elders if they remained in debt and didn't seek to clear it. People have come here with debt and I said, come, sit with me. Tell me how you're spending your money every month. And I say, knock off this, knock off this. You don't need this, you don't need this, you don't need this. And you can live within your income. And you know, I've taught them how to live with their income and they have prospered after that and become very rich. So many people have come here riddled with debt and they got freed. I never gave them any money. We don't give money from the church. But we teach them to seek God's kingdom first and teach them to live within their income. And not only when we were married, after we started living here, even in the days when the church started, my wife and I had very little money. When we couldn't afford to buy rice in the open market, my wife and I would stand 1 hour in the ration shop queue. And there were other believers who walked by and smirked and smiled at us. Well, look at this guy, servant of the Lord, standing in the ration shop queue. We used to stand in the ration shop queue to buy kerosene because gas was too expensive for us. And I know some people who come to our house who laugh at us. We'd go and buy the cheapest possible beef from the cheapest possible place. People laughed at us. But the people who laugh at us are the people who got into debt and to suffer. I never got into debt. It doesn't matter if you eat simple food, I'll tell you that. We never got sick. But all these people, we used to buy fish maybe once a year or twice a year. We couldn't afford it. But we're healthy and strong. Our children are healthy and strong. Only for one reason, not because we don't love fish. It's because we refuse to get into debt. We never bought new clothes for our children on their birthdays. Because we wouldn't get into debt. We couldn't afford it. When their clothes wore out, then we would get new ones. Even their school uniforms, we'd pass it on from one to the other. There are many ways in which we can stay out of debt if you want to. But if you want to be tip-top and stand up to the latest style and buy unnecessary things, then the serpent will bite you and it'll be very difficult to get out of the serpent's bite once he's got you. So be careful in the area of money. I say this from my experience. I wondered in those days why God was taking us through all this. Now I see, the Lord says, because I want you to make you an example to other people so that you can tell them that even when you had little or nothing, you did not borrow. Dear brothers and sisters, be careful in the area of money. So many people, there's no need to buy so many clothes. You don't need a sari every year. I never did that for my wife. It's a waste of money. When we have enough clothes, why should we keep on buying clothes? Live simply. Now, if God expands your boundary, then buy other things. We bought a washing machine when we could afford it. Not when we couldn't afford it. We could live without a washing machine. Man has lived without a washing machine for 5,000 years. How did they do that? So what I say is, if you follow these simple principles, you can have a really godly home.